Listen to part of the Christmas story this morning. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." May the Lord add blessing to the reading of his word this morning. Christmas season is here upon us. And I don't know about you, but I look forward to Christmas. It is probably my most favorite time of year, even more so than Easter. And I get into that debate with people, and they say, "Well, Easter is far more important." And I'm like, "Well, if he was never born, he would never have died." So, tomato, tomato, potato, potato, right? But as we go forward for the Christmas season, we're gonna switch gears and look into the Christmas story, but we're also going to look in the Christmas story from the role and the sight of the Holy Spirit. As we've been walking through 21 weeks of studying the Spirit, and that we can hear the Spirit speak. And we've been going through these last couple of weeks on the gift of prophecy. And this morning we want to look at how the Spirit speaks. And in the Christmas story itself, the Spirit speaks to both Mary, to Joseph, and to shepherds, and to wise men. And so as you read through the Christmas story this year, I want you to pay particular attention to the Holy Spirit and his role in it. This morning, the verse that we look at is in John chapter 10, and it's verse 27. It's very simple. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." A woman felt the Lord was directing her to travel from Sydney, Australia, to Cape Town, South Africa, to Tel Aviv, Israel. Her travel agent replied that the trip was impossible since there was no place for the plane to land and refuel on the way to Cape Town from Sydney, Australia. The woman, not taking no for an answer, insisted that she must obey God. "My chief has told me I must go first to Cape Town, and after that, to Tel Aviv." The travel agent replied, "Then God made a mistake. There is no direct flight from Australia to Africa, since there is no island in the Indian Ocean for the plane to land and refuel. That is why you must first go overland to Tel Aviv, and then to Cape Town." The woman simply replied, "I'll just have to pray for an island in the Indian Ocean." She then simply prayed, "Lord, if I've made a mistake in hearing your direction, please show me. But if I've heard correctly, then open the way." 1 hour later, the travel agent called the woman back, asking, "Did you really pray for an island in the Indian Ocean? I just received a telegram from Qantas, the Australian airline. They have just begun to use the Cocos Islands for a refueling station, and beginning tomorrow, will have a direct flight from Sydney to Cape Town. You know who the woman's name was that spoke to the travel agent who was in amazement? It was Corrie Ten Boom. The woman of faith who hid Jews from the Nazis and traveled the world following the direct guidance of God, sharing the gospel. Question is, do you have that kind of faith? Do you have that kind of relationship with the Holy Spirit? Could you and I live that way? She reminds me of Abraham. Abraham was living in a foreign country and was not a Christian. There was no such thing as a Christian then. He's living in Ur of the Chaldeans, and a voice says to him, Abraham, go to the land that I will show you. If you're in Abraham's footsteps, would you go? Corrie, I want you to go to Australia. Then I want you to go to the Cape. And then I want you to go to Tel Aviv. Yes, I know there's not an island there, but I'm going to provide one. You just don't know it yet. Do we have that kind of faith? Do we have that kind of relationship with God? In that what he says, I will hear, I will listen, and I will do. What has God called you to do? What has he called you to do? What is he whispering or talking to you about? And how do you know? The fact is that God has called each one of us not to a life of ease and comfort, but he's called us to a life of obedience. When he speaks, we need to listen. But the question is, how does he speak? Our understanding from John chapter 16, verses 13 through 15, is that the Holy Spirit guides, he speaks, he hears, he tells what is to come, and he makes known things. He does. We also understand the Holy Spirit's main function is to what? Is to glorify the Father and the Son. And by doing so, he teaches, he communicates, and will remind us what Jesus has said and the Father. John 14, 26. We also know that he who obeys the commands of the Lord and keeps them, the Father and the Son loves him and will do what? Manifest himself to them. Can I hear God? Yes, but the real question is, do I hear him? Do I want to hear him? If I do indeed want to hear his voice, then I will live in an active, functional relationship of love and obedience to Christ. He will be my true treasure. He will be my functional Lord, who I will pursue his leading and commandments in my daily life. Is Jesus your functional Lord? He's not merely a good idea, a momentary thought, a prayer, or simply a figurehead, but he's my living, functional Lord who communicates his desires and wishes to me all the time. Can I hear him? Am I listening? Do I recognize his voice and his way of communication? The Apostle Paul, in speaking to the Thessalonian church in the book of Thessalonians, by chance, an outstanding people, a group of people, by the way, were encouraged by Paul to speak not to please man, but to please God who tests our hearts. 1 Thessalonians 2:4. Everyone wants to be liked, right? Everyone wants to be thought well of. Everyone wants to be received. But sometimes when God speaks, the news isn't always great. Sometimes it's bad. But a lot of times it's good. So the Apostle Paul is encouraging the Thessalonians, you know, speak both the good and the bad. Don't please men, but please God. Jesus aimed to please the Father, and we are to imitate his example and please God. In everything we say or do, including receiving, understanding, and sharing his word. It's prophecy. So in this 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4, what does it mean, God who tests our hearts? Test means to try, to prove, to discern, to distinguish, to approve. The notion of proving a thing whether it is worthy or not. To use it metaphorically would be to make trial of, put to the proof, examine by fire, use, or generally any method. So does that mean that God puts us in situations to prove whether we will please him, speaking and taking action in line with the gospel, or instead will we seek to please men and be acceptable to them in what they function, how they speak, and what they treasure? That means that not all ways or things lead to God, or are of God, or are acceptable to God. And when we're confronted with a situation, will I follow the way of God or the way of man? Will I act in trust with God or with the world? Will I walk in faith as Sister Corrie Ten Boom did, or as the travel agent advised? If I hear God speak, will I speak what he speaks? Well, do you know that you're a steward? That every person, every Christian is a steward. We carry the stewardship of the gospel, the love of Christ, his grace, his story. The Apostle Paul, like the rest of the Jesus' apostles and disciples, were called upon and given the charge to be stewards of the gospel, dispensing the grace wherever they were led. What does a steward own? A steward owns nothing. But they possess and use everything that belongs to their master. Joseph was a steward in the house of Potiphar. He managed his master's affair and used all his master's goods to promote what? The master's welfare. The same as a manager or of a company or a store. They have been given authority and power to manage the owner's business in order to promote the welfare of who? The owner. The company. The business. As a follower of Christ, we have been entrusted with the gospel to share, to edify, to build up God's kingdom. How well we share the gospel and manage his church, our families, our relationships, loving God and loving people will be called to account in the end days. Those that are found faithful will be rewarded. Those who are found unfaithful will suffer. Therefore, what we do with the gospel matters. Will we glorify God with what we do with it or not? A steward manages and maximizes his master's assets, his treasures, his profits, while limiting the losses. Are we maximizing our Father's assets, the treasures of his gospel? We are not to bury the gospel, but we're to invest it so that it will multiply and bring a return and glory to God. This is what the parable of the talents shows us. Interesting, some people think that the best thing a person can do is to what? Protect their investments. That makes good, sound financial sense for one's future. Each person has a limit to the amount of risk that they're willing to embrace in order to move forward or get ahead. How much risk is God willing to take in order to share the gospel? He gave His Son. He gave everything. He would rather us give it away first and foremost than protect it and bury it. Faithfulness is thus the most important quality a steward can possess. The Apostle Paul was a faithful steward who heard the direction of God and followed, dispensing the gospel. Corrie ten Boom traveled the world following the direct promptings of the Spirit to where she was to go, dispensing the gospel. Am I a faithful steward, dispensing the gospel? Do I follow the Spirit's leadings, His voice and His promptings? 1 Corinthians 4, 1-2 says, "This is how one should regard us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful." So the Apostle Paul exhorts and encourages the Thessalonian believers to continue to walk in a manner worthy of God, as they have in the face of persecution and opposition. As a good father, as a good mother, what do you do with your children? You exhort them, you encourage them to walk in a manner worthy of God. Do I do that? As believers in the way of Christ, each one of us is responsible to exhort, to encourage, and to charge one another to walk in the manner worthy of God. This is part of the gift, the ministry of prophecy, the giving of God's word. We are to edify and build up the church. This is the reason for the gift, as we covered. But we are to do it in a way of love, in a way of building into one another's lives. Paul says we are to be imitators of us, the apostles, and of the Lord Jesus Christ in 1 Thessalonians 1:6. He also says this, he says, "Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves, or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you." Yes, Jesus Christ is in us, in each one of us. And if He is in us as He is, what is He saying to us? What is He saying to you? So how does God communicate with us? Well, He speaks through a whisper, referred to as a prompting or leading or guiding our thoughts. Have you ever had someone pop into your mind that wasn't there a second ago? It's the Holy Spirit speaking, moving you to maybe pray. Maybe you're awoken in the middle of the night and you have this urgency in your spirit to pray for somebody. To hear the Holy Spirit speaking. Maybe you discover that your friend is in trouble and you call them up and the timing was divine. It was in the perfect time at the perfect place in their hour of need. Many writers refer to this as the still small voice of 1 Kings 19, where Elijah is on the flee from Queen Jezebel, hiding in a cave. The word of the Lord comes to Elijah and asks why he's hiding in the cave. And Elijah tells him, you know, because I'm the only one left. He's feeling sad and sorry for himself. He's trying to survive. And the Lord tells him to go out and stand on the mountain. And He passes him by until Elijah hears a whisper. The voice of God was in the whisper. Do we hear the whisper of God? Samuel, a young boy who is picked to choose to serve in the temple, is sleeping. And the voice of God hasn't been heard for ages. Eli is the priest. His sons are running amok. And God speaks to Samuel. 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 Can we hear the whisper of the Spirit it's usually hard to do, and we're so busy running around and having our schedules so packed, distracted by people, distracted by places, distracted by events, distracted by technology. When is the last time that you sat silently without turning on the television, without picking up a phone, picking up a book, just to listen to God? If there is any wonder that we cannot hear Him, have we built margin into our lives to hear Him? How is it that Corrie Ten Boom could travel the world on the prompting of God? Think about that. God also communicates by an audible voice. Question. Has God spoken to you by an audible voice? Anybody here? A couple people. He speaks by an audible voice. Anybody can hear. Pastor Rob Reimer speaks on prophecy, and he asks, usually when he goes on a tour, he asks those people in the room if they've heard God's audible voice. And he says usually about a quarter of those people put up their hands. So God still speaks by an audible voice. How come I've never heard His audible voice? Do I believe He can? Jesus heard the audible voice of the Father at His baptism in Matthew chapter 3, verse 17. And actually everyone else seemingly did as well. The Apostle Paul heard the audible voice of God at his conversion. Acts 9:4, 22:6. Interesting, Pastor Reimer, who I'm referring to, he's a good old Alliance pastor from the East. He writes of a story of a lady emailing him one time. She'd been walking out in the woods and she heard the audible voice of God tell her, tell Rob to write a book. Interesting, she'd only been to Rob's church once. It was after she visited that this happens. Tell Rob to write a book. So what does she do? She argues with God, saying he's much too busy. But then she tells her husband, and what's her husband say? You have to speak to Pastor Reimer because God spoke to you out loud. Unbeknownst to her, Pastor Reimer, when he was 24 years old, God spoke to him about many future things in store for him. And one of those things was to write a book. Actually, he's written 3 books now. Do you hear God's voice? What happens when God speaks to you and it's a word for somebody else? Do you feel silly to share that with somebody else? Maybe it's something specifically that God knows that person needs. Are you willing to be that vehicle to speak on God's behalf? God speaks through pictures, dreams, and visions. When I was a kid, I was living up in High Level, even further north. Oh, my word. And I remember it. It was a storming night. It was a lightning storm. And my mom and dad were at the kitchen sink. And I was helping them wash dishes. And I was about 8 years old. And above our sink was a window looking outside. And quite often I would stand there and wash dishes and I'd be looking outside to see what's happening. Well, the lightning storm was incredible. It was awesome. But I remember seeing what was like a hand writing in the lightning. Now you can go, you're 8 years old. But I remember that event to this day. And I asked the Lord about that. What is that? What were you trying to say to me? If that was you. I also had another dream that is about the last days. And I'm standing in a stadium that is in tattered smithereens, destroyed, all except for the score clock. And as I stand there, there's a woman standing beside me. And I don't know who it is. She's all blacked out, black figure, everything like that, but I don't know who she is. This dream happened about 20 years ago, before Lynette and I were married. And as you look up at the clock, you see that the hands are just about at 12. And as the clock strikes 12, all of a sudden I see the clouds start to roll back. Roll back. And things start to happen. That's the dream. I believe I know what that's about. But I'm hoping at the same time that that's not what it's about, to be at those times. Peter quotes the prophet Joel in Acts 2:17, "And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall see dream dreams." This is true. What are dreams? Dreams are pictures that come to us as we are asleep, usually referred to as night visions. What are visions? Pictures that come to us when we are awake. Did we know that the Bible is full of stories of individuals receiving dreams and visions? He speaks by dreams and visions. Dreams and visions were given at Jesus' birth, as we said. Dreams and visions were even given to kings who are not Christians, and it terrified them. Dreams and visions were recognized as important means of divine communication, some auditory, others highly symbolic, and required interpretation. Skilled individuals were usually employed to interpret dreams and visions as to how they applied to the king or their future. Dream books would be compiled, recording the dream, the phenomenon, and the implications. Israelites believed dreams could only be interpreted by Yahweh's guidance. And don't you know that we have two Jewish individuals that were one of the best at interpreting dreams, Joseph and Daniel? God speaks through dreams and visions. Do you hear God that way? Does he speak that way? Biggest thing about dreams and visions is that people usually scoff at them. Say, you got an overly active imagination. What did you eat? What did you drink? But the thing about dreams and visions is God uses them to speak to us. Are we listening? Do not limit the way that you read your Bible by the lens of your current experience. Pay attention to dreams and visions and ask God if they are messages from him. God also communicates with us through our body, through our emotions. Have you ever had problems sleeping? Maybe God's, the Spirit is speaking to you. Maybe he's trying to get you back in alignment with his ways and what's important to him. Many of you prayed for me as I've had problems sleeping. I haven't had problems sleeping for like 3 weeks. And the reason why? I was out of alignment with him. I got up one night at 2:30 in the morning and sat, and I was doing my devotions. And as I was recording my devotions and talking with the Spirit, I asked, "Are you the one keeping me awake?" "Yes." And I go, "Why?" He just simply says, "You know why." And since that time, I haven't had those problems. Holy Spirit speaks. Are we listening? Why does he do this? To get our attention. Why does he affect our bodies? Why does he affect our emotions? To get our attention. Maybe sometimes it's not that pain that we feel, but there's a deeper issue. Pastor Reimer tells a story of a woman that came forward after service, and she complained of some physical pain, and she wanted prayer over that issue. And Pastor Reimer sat down beside her and said, okay. But as he usually does, he sat there for a couple minutes before and just listened to the Spirit. And he sensed something different. The word that came to him was witch. He's like, okay, Lord, how do I broker this subject with this lady? And the Lord gave him wisdom, and he asked her, have you ever been involved in any other religious ritual practices in your life? She confessed to them that she'd been a witch for 13 years. He said to her, this symptom is not a physical bodily symptom problem. It's a spiritual one. And so he prayed over her, did some intervention ministry, and she was healed. Spirit speaks. Do we listen? A good indicator of walking in the Spirit is a lack of anxiety, a lack of nervousness, a lack of fear, a lack of being upset. Jesus says in Matthew 6:25 and verses following, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body or what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? Oh, you of little faith, therefore do not be anxious. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Truth? Truth. God speaks through our body, through our emotions. Huh. One of the ministries, well, just say this. Is God offensive? Think about that. Is God offensive? He is. Because he's holy. We're sinners. We're not righteous. He is. And when righteousness and unholiness come together, there's an offense. We either choose what we're going to do with the offense. We're either going to accept it, or are we going to reject it and deny it? The Holy Spirit, part of his ministry is what? To convict us and make us uncomfortable. To be offensive to our persons. His very presence is offensive because he's holy and we are not. God expects one. He expects us as a body to follow him, to live by his ways. He disturbs us at night and says, get in alignment with me. What do they say about the gospel? That the gospel is offensive. Tell me, are people offended when you tell them that there is only one way to God and is through Jesus Christ, the Son of God? Yeah, they are. Are people offended by the cross? Yeah, we want to take it down. Why? Because it's not about me. It's not about what I can do. What else is offensive about the gospel? If one does not believe upon and receive the grace of Christ, you are lost, will not see heaven, and you'll go to hell. Is that offensive? Yes, it is. That's because I believe I'm the center of the universe and I control my own destiny. Usually God needs to tell me why and what he does and does not want, and he has to clear it with me. God doesn't operate that way because he's sovereign. That's offensive. If none of this offends me, here's the ultimate offense, that God says we are sinners. What's a sinner? Someone who misses the mark. I hit my mark all the time. God says that's not the important one. He says my mark is the important one. And as a result, all men, all women, all children fall short of the glory of God and are sinners. What happens when you tell somebody about the gospel and say that they're a sinner? They're offended. It's the Holy Spirit. God speaks through two other ways. He speaks in what somebody would term your mind's eye. It's not a New Age thing. But John Wimber was an evangelist and pastor, and he wrote in his book Power Evangelism the story of sitting across from a man on a plane. And when he stared at him, he saw the word adultery on the man's forehead. He says, Wimber was so surprised as he stared at the man snapped back at him, "What do you want?" And immediately a woman's name came to his mind, and he replied to the man, "Does the name Jean mean anything to you?" The businessman replied, "We need to talk." And they headed to the lounge where the man asked Wimber, "Who told you that name?" Wimber blurts out, as any God-fearing man would, "God told me." The man was shocked. "God told you?" Wimber said, "Yes, and that he also told me to tell you that unless you turn from this adulterous relationship, he's going to take your life." The man broke, and he asked Wimber what he should do. Wimber shared the gospel with the man, and he accepted Christ right there. The man repented, accepted Christ in tears, and then he proceeded to confess to his wife, who was sitting in the chair next to him on the plane, and led her to Christ. Amazing stories. God speaks. More than just through the word, he speaks in an audible voice. He can speak and give you a picture and give you something pops into your mind. He can also, what Pastor Rob Reimer says, affect your knower. You know what your knower is? The Holy Spirit speaking directly to your spirit. Something that you never knew anything about, no previous thoughts, no previous knowledge, no sense of anything. Like meeting someone for the first time and knowing something is not right, or you have a bad feeling or a bad sense. That's your knower. Interesting. My friend Sue says to me, I'm not bragging, she goes, "Shannon, you have an uncanny sense of discernment with people." And it's there. Do you believe that God speaks? Are you open to the many different ways that God could speak to you? Not just through Scripture, but in an audible voice? Maybe your mind's eye? Maybe in a whisper? Through another person? Do you hear God speak? If I don't hear God speak, could it be, as the Apostle Paul said, that we've grieved the Spirit? We've said, the only way that you speak, Spirit, is through the Word, and I'll accept none other. Have we done that? Maybe we've done that because we live out of fear that if we actually gave our lives totally over to the Spirit, something weird's going to happen. I'll be uncomfortable. He's going to take me somewhere and do something that I don't want any part of. And God says, "You need to follow me." He spoke to his apostles, to his disciples, to kings that weren't even his in many ways. Are we open to that? want to hear his voice. We are not to treat the word with contempt, nor the spirit with contempt, nor prophecies of God with contempt. Don't doubt, believe, but test the spirit. Is what I am hearing, what God is saying, is it God? I pick up my Bible and I read that. I go to those that are spiritually discerning, that I know and sense that they're walking with the Spirit, they have discernment, and I ask them, does this sound like God? Because God wants us to know his will, his way, his commands, and he's communicating with us every day, every minute, every hour. Do we hear his voice? Father, I thank you that you speak. I thank you that you speak through the Spirit. And you let us know what your will is. You let us know what your desire is. You let us know every day. You devise divine appointments. And whether we keep them or meet them is up to us. Do we hear your voice? Do we see with our eyes? Is our heart open to you? Father, you speak. Open our ears to hear. Fill us with your Spirit. Enable us to recognize your voice. And make the enemy's voice less. No existence. Pray this in your name, Lord Jesus.